This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
And I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. If you could learn to work and play and get along with each other.
Welcome, everybody, to Wednesday World Games, episode 36. Joining me, as always, is Liam Jones. Liam, tell me what PlayStation 5.
Well, you see, PlayStation 5 is the latest console from Sony Interactive. Or Sony Entertainment? Yes. What are they?
Sony Interactive Entertainment, I believe. I think they use both. SIE.
Garrett, the PlayStation 5, officially abbreviated as PS5, is an upcoming home video game console developed by Sony Interactive Entertainment, announced in 2019 as the successor to the PlayStation 4. It is scheduled to launch in late 2020. The platform is anticipated to launch in two varieties, as a base PlayStation 5 system incorporating a Blu-ray compatible optical disc drive for retail game support alongside digital distribution via the PlayStation Store, and a lower cost digital variant lacking the disc drive while retaining digital download support.
Whoa!
The PlayStation 5 retains the same AMD brand CPU family as the PlayStation 4, but features a customized solid-state drive designed for high-speed data streaming to enable significant improvements in graphical performance. The hardware also features a custom AMD GPU compatible with ray tracing, support for 4K resolution, displays in high frame rates, new audio hardware for real-time 3D audio effects, and backwards compatibility with most PlayStation 4 and PlayStation VR games.
Whoa!
The first news on the PlayStation 5 came from lead architect Matt Kearney in an interview with Wired magazine in April of 2019. In early 2019, Sony's financial report for the quarter, ending March 31st, 2019, affirmed the new next-gen hardware was in development, would ship no earlier than April 2020. In a second Wired magazine interview in October of 2019, Sony said it intends to ship the next-generation console worldwide by the end of 2020. The current hardware specifications were released in October 2019 at CES 2020. Sony unveiled the official logo for the platform, which follows the similar, minimalist style of the previous PlayStation consoles and brand. Full specifications were given in an online presentation by Kearney and published by Sony and Digital Foundry on March 18th, 2020. Digital Foundry spoke with Kearney in detail and published a deep dive on April 2nd. A major game library showcase for PlayStation 5 has been planned for June 4th, 2020, but was postponed until June 11th in light of events due to George Floyd protests. The presentation also premiered the external design of the PlayStation 5.
Then that's everyone caught up, I guess.
The PlayStation 5 uses AMD 7...
No! Did you enjoy that presentation last week?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Are you excited for Resident Evil Village?
The worst kept secret in Capcom.
Well, Capcom never keeps their secret. Well, like, in fairness, the fact that a Resident Evil game is in development at all times is hard to keep a secret.
Mm. What were your highlights? Give me your three highlights from the PlayStation reveal.
Well, if you would like my five highlights from the PlayStation,
no, I want three of them.
You can go to youtube.com/GarrettKidney. Yeah,
that's for people who want five. I want three.
But did you not watch the video? I think it doesn't keep up with my content.
Give me the three.
I think Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart is like the most next-gen looking game out of the lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's one of the few real games that were shown, and not just CG trailers.
It does help that they showed like a little gameplay snippet, so it's like, oh look, them jumping through portals looks fancy and new and next gen, whereas everything else is just a CG trailer. Demon's Souls is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And Horizon Forbidden West, or Zero 2, or Dawn 2.
Or 1.
Or Horizon 2 Dawn.
Horizon 1 Dawn.
Yes, Horizon First Dawn. That would actually have been a better name.
My three favorite moments were I like Demon's Souls. I like the Resident Evil review. And the Spider-Man, because I didn't expect the Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's still only going to be like a small game, though.
Yeah, but still. I didn't expect it.
Still going to be a small game.
Wow, get owned, fucking idiots.
Yeah, make a full game. Don't make a mini game.
Yeah, how dare you make a non-sequel, non-expansion, non-standalone.
Like 10-hour standalone game that they'll probably still charge $60 for, and it's the only good thing that's going to be there at launch, and it'll be over in like 15 minutes, and then your PS5 will be sitting there taking up half the room it's in because it's absolutely gigantic.
Yeah, I'm so excited for it.
$700.
I'm going to love it.
It's so big.
Yeah, I want a console the size of my fridge. That's the goal.
Assuming the display model that they showed on the thing was to scale, the people have used the disk drives and the USB ports to basically do a size comparison and work out how big the damn thing is, and it's gigantic!
Hell yeah! I want it.
Well, I don't mind how it looks, except, have you seen the photo of it lying on its side?
Yeah, it does look weird, but I'm glad that it does, because when I was looking at this, I was like, how does this thing lie on its side?
Yeah, when I saw the picture of it, like, I think it, I don't love it, I don't hate it, I think it's fine, it's a console, who cares? But it lying on its side, it looks like an absolute monstrosity.
I would like to see an all-black matte finish version of it, then the dual colouring.
I'll probably get the launch version, but you know, like, the Spider-Man edition's gonna be much cooler.
If they do a Spider-Man edition.
Well, maybe not for Miles Morales, but the eventual Spider-Man 2, I'd imagine they'll do a Spider-Man edition.
Garrett, isn't The Last of Us 2 out now?
In your land, in your part of the world, it is out now. I haven't played The Last of Us 1, though.
I haven't played Last of Us 1 either. I'm going to wait until PS5 and then play both.
I think I played like two or three hours of Last of Us 1, and it was scary, and I ran away.
I don't think it's that scary of a game, is it?
It has zombies, and they creep up on you, and they're like, ah, and you have to shoot them, Liam. It's inherently scary. Zombies are scary things.
One of, like, the few people in the world who still find zombies scary.
Well, Liam, if a zombie actually showed up in front of you right now, would you be like, haha, you're from the TV show?
Yeah, I would. Be like, this is Walking Dead star, the zombie.
You'd be cracking jokes? No, they're walkers in The Walking Dead.
Oh, The Walking... Do you want to talk about The Walking Dead? What's your favorite Walking Dead season?
I think I watched like 6 seasons of it before I think like the rest of the world I'm like, this is stupid, just end. And it's still going, so.
Yeah. The first season was real good.
I think the first like 3 or 4 seasons are real good, and then it does just like, it just keeps going. It just, and every season is the same. It's like, is this the cure to the zombie? Is this the safe place we can stay forever?
Guess what? It never is.
And then some drama goes down, some people die, and they repeat the same thing next year. And you're just like, I don't know, I don't care anymore. Just, you've long passed the point where I even remotely care about any of these characters or anything that's happening on this television show. And it's still going. How is it still going?
Well, I don't think they've even gotten to the end of the comic books yet.
I wish they'd end their show, though.
Get owned. I think they're on their last season, aren't they? I feel like it was, it came out, oh, we're on the last season of The Walking Dead, like, 12 times.
Because, like, even Rick has left now, and they're apparently doing some spin-off films with him. And, like, what's the point? What are we doing here? Just end the show. Just end it.
I remember how much of a cultural, like, tentpole that was for a while.
Oh, yeah, it was right up there with Game of Thrones. It was the biggest show on freaking cable TV. It might still be the biggest show on cable TV. It still does okay numbers, but certainly not the, like, 10 million it used to do. But yeah, it was huge and pervasive and one of the most important pieces of culture like 10 years ago. Or, well, not 10, it's only 9 seasons in, I think. I think it's 9. So let's say 8 years ago, it was huge.
Is this what, like, not nostalgia, but is this what just getting old is? Just remembering what things were super popular?
Yes.
It's like, oh man, remember Breaking Bad?
It's like when young people are like, remember something from 5 years ago. And because they're young, like 5 years seems like a long time ago. But I'm like, 5 years is like 2 seconds ago. What are you talking about?
Mm. What's like a good example of that?
The fact that Diamond and Pearl is in the nostalgia mix for Pokemon.
That came out in like, no. 2009, to be fair.
Yes, exactly.
That's like, if it's over a decade, you can go remember when.
No. I reject people younger than me's nostalgia, Liam. That's what I'm saying. They're not allowed to have it.
What do you think the remake of it's going to be called?
Super Diamond and Mega Pearl.
I hope they do the Platinum remake. Platinum's a better game.
Well, they'd have to do the two versions, though, so they're going to do Diamond and Pearl.
They should do Big Platinum and have an AEW tie-in.
And Little Platinum.
Which is the women's title?
Wow. Yeah,
well,
Liam.
Literally, it is a smaller belt.
Classic sexism, Liam.
Yeah, well, how about we move on like Abaddon...
Wonderful. Every week we talk about AEW Dynamite and WWE NXT. Last week AEW won, so this week we shall talk about All Elite Wrestling Dynamite. Liam, it opened with the World Tag Team title match. Did you enjoy the World Tag Team title match?
This match made it to the spreadsheet, baby.
You went four?
4 stars.
Wow.
Yeah. And not only did this match make it to the spreadsheet, with this match, big moment happened on the spreadsheet, Garrett. Via the math, which is how I calculate wrestler of the year, my number one wrestler is firmly Kenny Omega. My number two is now Hangman Page.
Whoa.
So not only... at that point, like, shoo-in for tag team of the year, if the two best wrestlers of the year are two people in a tag team.
Well, I think Kenny in particular is just like, he's so far ahead of everybody else in the wrestler of the year stakes, it's not even funny.
Mm.
But the fact that most of those matches have been teaming with Hangman Page does help Hangman Page a lot.
Hangman Page is now 1 point ahead of Will Ospreay for third place.
And Will Ospreay hasn't wrestled in like 3 months, so that's actually quite impressive.
We'll see how Ospreay... Can Ospreay bounce back?
Well, he's not on any of these New Japan tours, is he? So no. He's still not going to wrestle for another while.
And Hangman will have the advantage because he'll probably have another 4-star match with the best friends.
Yeah. And then he'll keep having 4-star matches as tag champs. And then eventually they'll have 4-star matches against the Revival and against the Young Bucks again, probably, because why not? And bring back the Lucha Bros, do that too. Oh no, they already did the Lucha Bros, and that match was great. And
then they'll do a, then they'll have a 5-star singles breakup match.
And then Kenny will have an amazing match with Dustin Rhodes, because you know that's going to happen at some stage.
It's such a weird match.
It is. And it's again, it's one of those matches that you're just like, yes, this is the kind of thing I want from AEW.
You know what's funny? Like, watching this tag match, the two people that stood out to me were Hangman and QT Marshall. He ruled in this match.
He was very good. I didn't quite love this match as much as you did. I thought it was a very good match that peaked a little early, and then the last 2 minutes of it were kind of meandering.
I did think the finish was a little... You know what I mean?
Yeah, it felt a little flat, because they peaked with that big QT comeback, and he did his dives, and everyone was running wild, and then they just... Then Ali came out. I think when Ali came out, it just kind of meandered to an end then.
Well,
but everything up until that, I thought was tremendous.
I just think, like, because they did the thing where they hit a big tag move, QT kicks out for one last breath, and they hit the last call, and that was it. I think you could have just ended it with, like, a B tag team finish.
Yeah, it's QT Marshall. You don't need the big one for him.
Yeah, just put over the B tag finish, and then, so, like... Hangman had to run back in, so there was like a little 20-second time delay between the two moves, and I thought that kind of like, okay, now it ends. I also thought, there's a way better story to be had with having Ali not come out, because then she could be like, well, every time I'm out there, they win. And I didn't come out there, and they lost. So, Brandy, maybe you're a shit manager. But it's like,
they should do that. I like the idea of Ali throwing shade at Brandy.
The thing is, though, I kind of love all of them together. I want it all to work out. I just want them all to, like, suddenly start, like, working together and teaming well. And I want Ali to just join.
Ali and Brandy become best of friends. Ali appears on a shot of Brandy, and they bond.
When Ali Ali came out and Brandy was, like, gonna tell her to fuck off, but then, like, they both started cheering QT together, and I was like, yeah! Come on!
You want the wholesome nightmare family, not the divided nightmare family.
Yeah, I want the nightmare dream family.
They should actually do that. They should be the dream family when they're baby faces, and the nightmare family when they're heels.
Mm.
Kenny and Hangman retained. Good, very good match. I enjoyed this match a lot. As I did have another nitpick that only Kenny got an entrance. Which I'm fine if you want to start with the guys in the ring, but give everybody an entrance or give nobody an entrance.
Or just give the tag champs an entrance at least.
But no, then I'd be like, then you're kind of burying the natural nightmares. It's like, I'm fine if they're all in the ring to start, because then you're treating them as equals. Mm. But the fact that the only one guy, only the star got the entrance. So everybody an entrance or nobody an entrance. You can't do one guy getting an entrance.
It's like, whenever AEW opens with everyone in the ring, I always get a little more excited because I'm like, oh, it's going to be a packed episode.
That they had to trim the 2 minutes off the opening match entrances.
Yeah, like, because like, they've kind of trained me in that way now, because like, they did that with like the Bucks and the Lucha Bros in one of the episodes, and I was like, oh shit, and then that was a really good episode of Dynamite, so now I'm just like, every time they open up with people in the ring, I'm like, yeah, let's go!
You get fired up for all the action immediately. You don't have to watch Hangman Page make his entrance to his great entrance music. we got a video on Anna Jay, who was like, I like to entertain people, woo, then Abaddon killed her.
Hell, this ruled. I was watching, like, the Abaddon entrance, and I was like, oh, that's weird. They're giving, like, a really detailed entrance to someone who isn't signed. Then she killed her. I was like, oh, I guess. I was like, man, Jim Ross is putting over this random jobber, like...
Jim Ross was terrified of this woman. He was very upset.
To be fair, out of all of the, like, there's a lot of women who do, like, the creepy gimmicks and they all have, like, the kind of same makeup. Like, Abaddon's is far and away the most terrifying.
J.R. was, and Britt Baker was upset. She was saying she needs to find Jesus via her note system sent to Tony Schiavone.
That ruled, and the best part about that is, like, you know, some random person had to set up that bit. Like, they pitched, like, yeah, hey, we need a pulley system so Britt can communicate with Tony.
So someone, some engineer or some backstage person at Dynamite spent all day at that taping setting up a weird pulley system that's just long enough to send notes to Tony Schiavone.
I hope it was the same person who had to get the Kenny poker chips, like, a day before Double or Nothing.
For the longest time, I've had this idea for wrestling that, like, you should find the most impressive looking body guy you can find. Like the big, the Wardlow, but bad. Like that big jacked guy. And spend 4 weeks building them up. And you're like, this person is the blue chip athlete. You know, do all the things you do to build up a debut. Then you have them debut. And then the person you're actually pushing is just their opponent. And then they kill them. So, like, the subversion of expectations. And that's what, they didn't quite go all the way on that there. Because they only, like, they built it up for a week. Anna Jay had one promo and then she got beaten. But the basic idea of that idea I had. And I'm sad that someone did it in a less long form way. But I'm glad someone did it at least. In some,
I was gonna say the only time I can think of that happening was Juice and Baron Corbin, where like they did like 4 or 5 weeks of Juice coming out and like doing his new like picketing gimmick, and then on Takeover he debuted and got squashed in 10 seconds by Baron Corbin.
But then you're doing it for a bad wrestler. You see, I do it the other way around. You see, Baron Corbin would be the perfect person to do it with if you're having him debut. It's like, look at this big guy. He's everything a wrestler should be. And then you have, like, Bryan Danielson debut to kill him, or whoever the modern equivalent of Bryan Danielson is. Trevor Lee. I don't know.
That rule. Yeah. I the one thing I'm enjoying about AEW's women division is, like, I don't recognize any of these people.
You're not a big Anna Jay fan. You don't know all the... But in fairness, if you watch AEW, you've probably seen like half of the matches Anna Jay has ever had.
Yeah, but you know, like, I've never heard of an Abaddon before her last, like, dark match.
And I've never heard of her even considering the dark match.
Ah, wow. Big fake AEW fan over here.
Listen, dark was 11 matches this week, Liam. And 11 matches. I will have to go back and watch Lee Johnson.
Mm. He's against Glove Guy. And not in the main event, too. Some bullshit.
After the match, the Dark Order made an offer to Colt Cabana before just carrying Anna Jay out.
It wasn't an offer. They offered him a contract. Which is an offer, so that is
an offer.
You literally used the word offer in the sentence. I thought you meant more of, like, the traditional Dark Order offer. Like...
No, they want to pay Colt. They recognize the Colt is above the nerd mask level. They just want... I guess they want him as, like, a paid vigilante.
Did you see his promo?
Colts?
Yeah.
From what?
It was on AEW Digital.
No, I didn't.
He cut a really good promo where he's like, yeah, like last week they caught me going in talking to Mr. Brody Lee, but I talked to everyone. I talked to Trent, I talked to Wardlow, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, that's what wrestlers do. We go and we talk to other wrestlers when we're in a slump. It wasn't just me going to the Dark Order. Like, I'm not joining, like... But he basically went on to elaborate, like, the contract was for the tag match next week. And I'm like, of course I'm going to take that. I'm going to be on Dynamite. Why would I ever say no to being on Dynamite? So it's a good promo and you should check it out. Colt's been really good.
Do you think he's going to join the Dark Order, Liam?
No, because his straight edge savior will save him. CM Punk, baby. Big Phil.
Abandoning backstage to fight the Dark Order.
I think legally he can do both.
He could do both.
But yeah, Abaddon.
Abaddon looked great.
I don't think she should use that step-up Hurricane Runner as her finish, though. It's too flashy for the gimmick.
What? So she should do a punch?
Yeah, a punch.
I had a similar problem with the tweet that AEW sent out. It's like, welcome to the family, Abaddon. It's like, look at her.
They used a cool font.
Still, it's like you shouldn't be welcoming Abaddon to the family. She's terrifying. But to change the copy of those tweets, customize them to the wrestlers.
I gotta admit, I am kind of excited to get some new signings, which will probably be mostly people on Dark. So, hell yeah, for me.
But you say that as if, like, AEW hasn't debuted Matt Hardy and Brody Lee and
yeah, but I don't want WWE debuts. I want some, like, original guys in there, too.
Well, you got two of them on this show, so what more do you want?
I was literally giving them praise for it. And you're like, all right, what are you doing?
Billy Gunn.
Just Billy.
Just Billy, indeed. Billy is a gigantic human being. And like, you don't realize how, like, if you went, go back and watch, like, WWF 1998, I don't think you're like, look how big Billy Gunn
he's
is.
Like,
why
6'5".
Is this man huge? But yeah, compared to, like, everybody now, he's absolutely humongous. You shouldn't put him in the same ring with Wardlow, by the way, because he's bigger than Wardlow.
Unless Wardlow just murders him.
Still, you probably shouldn't. No, Wardlow's the big guy. Don't make Wardlow not look like the big guy.
This is war. And Billy's second son came out that you didn't believe existed.
Yes, Colton. Colton Gunn.
Good name for a person with the last name Gunn.
It's not bad, I guess.
Colton Gunn.
It's better than Austin Gunn.
I like Colton Gunn more than Austin already, just based on name.
Just based on name. He should team with Colt Cabana and they should be the Colton Gunns.
Colt 45.
MJF beat Billy. The match was fine.
It's funny, like, I didn't, like, like this match, but I liked this match.
All right, explain.
Gentlemen's two.
Like, gentlemen's two.
Like, perfectly acceptable wrestling, as it would be said in Extreme Wrestling Warfare Revenge.
Yes, yeah.
I play real booking simulators, so.
Oh, wow. It's not like the same person has made all of them for the last 22 years.
Yeah, I play real ones.
MJF won with his ring, then there was a big brawl with the Jurassic Express at ringside, so there you go.
Yeah, I was like, god damn, when will this Jurassic Express MJF feud end?
I think AEW has that kind of problem in general. A lot of this stuff feels still kind of stuck in a holding pattern, but also not stuck in a holding pattern, so it kind of exists in a weird middle ground.
Mm. I think probably that has something to do with the extenuating circumstances of it all.
And, like, they did accept, I think, after those first Atlanta tapings, that you cannot, like, just stall anymore.
Well, those first few tapings were literally just, like, classic studio wrestling, just squash, 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 squash. One good match.
With one 20-minute Kenny Omega match against Sammy Guevara or Trent.
Which, to be fair, isn't a bad system. You just need a bit more oomph behind it.
Or a 20-minute Kenny Omega match against Alan Angels.
Or a 20-minute Cody match.
Speaking of Cody.
Ah, see how I did that? I'm very good.
Oh no, we have a hijacking of trucks first. Where to? Brittany, there we go, that works. That's what she said. She said, because where to, you need this, it's the line is Stephanie, so you need the correct number of syllables. So if you said, where to, Brittany,
yeah,
that would have worked.
Rules.
Yes, I enjoy Britt Baker. She is humorous.
Yep.
And being kidnapped. Yep. Cody defended the TNT title against Ricky Starks.
Wow, who could have seen who this could have been?
I thought this was all right.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was decent.
I thought Starks looked very nervous, both in his promo and in his match, which probably doesn't help that his character is this, like, big, like, cocky, super self-assured guy, and then he looks super nervous with everything he does with Cody.
I was just going to say, I think I hope they keep doing these open challenge gimmicks with people outside of AEW, because it's more interesting and you don't have to beat someone on your roster. But for the people that you do it with, they need to have that, like, opening introduction video every time, because that was, like, real cool. I really like that. Don't just have them come out, because, like, there's a good chance if this was in front of a crowd, most of that crowd wouldn't have known Ricky Starks.
You mean they don't watch NWA Power?
They're not one of the 120,000 people that watch NWA Power. I think having, like, a little introduction video every time will be really cool. And then one day, when it's Marty Scurll that answers it, and he does, like, that was me opening an umbrella. And then, like, it says Villain Enterprises, and the crowd will go apeshit.
What if it's Zack Ryder answering it?
Well, I think that'll happen too.
Woo, woo, woo.
But I think Marty is what you should do. Do you want your prediction?
For who beats him, or just who answers the open challenge?
Nah, who beats him?
I think MJF beats him.
No, You're wrong. You know who it's going to be?
All right.
It's going to be Marty Scurll, and it's going to be the first week that they're back with people.
Whoop, whoop.
And that's going to go whoop, whoop, and the crowd's going to go whoop, whoop. And then he's going to go 15 minutes over his time.
They'll be mad at him again and kick him out.
Yeah. But yeah, good match. And Starks, I think he... I was going to say, he looks TV ready, and I was going to be like, but that was Pepper Park's thing, not him. He does look TV ready, though.
I think physically he looks TV. I didn't think in this match
But who cares about in-ring stuff? I'm like, purely the aesthetic of Ricky Starks. He looks like a TV product, and he'll be great on Dark when he wrestles like Joey Janela or something.
Because like the finish of this match was they tried to do like the Malenko Guerrero pin exchanges, and all of them looked bad.
There was a couple real clumsy ones in there.
And then they just went straight to the crossroads for the finish. And yeah, like I didn't think this was like an awful match or anything, no. But it's not like the match you'd want that makes you look at Ricky Starks and go, oh yeah, that's a guy. But I thought it was just a fine TV match.
But you know what? It wasn't goddamn 25 minutes. So in the AEW ethos, I will take an 8-minute kind of sloppy match over 25 minutes.
On the topic of unnecessarily long matches, the Young Bucks defeated the Super Bad. Why? Why does Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc get so much time on television?
See,
I don't understand it.
On this review that we're reading at ProWrestling.net, it says that it went 15 minutes, and that must be incorrect because it went 45 minutes.
Because like they did like the heat segment, then Nick Jackson did a really good comeback, and then you're like, all right, bing bang boop. Couple of near falls, couple bit of razzle dazzle, go home, 2 minutes left.
Boom.
No. It just keeps going. It's like, end the match. And there's like interference, and FTR show up, and the Butcher and the Blade show up, and they just keep going. And it's like, why do you do this with Kip Sabian every time? Why is it always Kip Sabian that they give so much time to?
You could have done it in 12. And it would have been just like, it would have been the exact same.
You could have done it in 8, you could have done it in 6, and it would have been the exact same.
I think he should probably give it a little more time. But
he come back, couple near falls, go home. Doesn't need to be this complicated with Kip Sabian and freaking Jimmy Havoc.
I gotta admit though, as a staunch supporter of the Superbad squad, now that they have a new Titantron and new music, I'm even more in, baby. I'm even more in with the Superbad squad, baby. Love me some Jim Havoc, love me some Kip Sab, and their eventual 8-man tag at Fighter Fest.
With whom?
It's going to be them and the Butcher and the Blade versus the Bucks and FTR.
I thought that the post-match as well was clumsy. It was too busy. There was too much going on. It wasn't a clean segment.
But I got to admit, I did like the whole, we have the same move.
Yeah, I liked it. From the super kick cutoff and then the kind of Indie Taker, Tombstone, and Spike Piledriver. I liked that bit, but like, just get to that. The way they got to that was messy. Messy. And I think that's the case with a lot of AEW like post-matches and segments. They just feel a little messy. It feels like it's like, we just should have thought about this another couple of drafts and refined it.
Everything could have been a little more trimmed together. Like, if you're going to do this post-match, you don't need to do all of the interference in the match. Like, you're just doubling up.
And I know Jericho was always, we're pros. We never have to go out and, you know, work through stuff before we're live. There's times where it's perfectly fine to, like, block a post-match like this. So it's like, you're here, we do this then. And then, so you know what you're doing.
It's television.
So you iron out kinks. It's television, yeah.
I do like the little, like, subtext, I suppose, of them both having a similar move when one of them's like, oh, we are the classic wrestlers and we don't do that dumb shit. And then it's like, oh, we have the same move, though, as the people that are the Spot Monkeys.
Hey, the Spot Monkeys one is the Tombstone, where theirs is just a regular pile driver. Completely different.
What do you think of the name Goodnight Express, by the way?
I don't get it. Well, I guess Express is it just literally a play on Midnight Express?
Yes.
With Goodnight being a different word?
Yes.
That's bad.
Their music is awful. Have you...
A lot of the music
No. FTR's music...
Billy's theme is awful.
No.
Matt Hardy's theme is awful.
No.
There's so many bad themes
okay,
in this
show. Okay, those are, like, bleh. This is maybe the worst wrestling theme I've heard.
Oh, that's a high statement.
Please, everyone, go to YouTube. It's out there now, and it's fully clear version. Like, it's the official upload by the actual artist. My God, this theme is so bad. It's so bad.
It's like your like worst parody of a country theme. It's not good.
This is so awful.
You're so upset by this.
Oh, because like they came from such a banger of a theme.
Say yeah.
They do the say yeah, but they do it like
yeah.
Say yeah. Say yeah.
It's like, delivery wrong, yeah.
It's like, no, you can't just take the words. Matt Hardy, Taz, whatever we're up to.
Taz and Brian Cage. Taz cuts a promo. I love Brian Cage's promos because he delivers them at like 100 miles an hour because he wants to get every word out of his mouth as fast as he can because he's real threatening and he's Mr. Get His Shit In even in his promos because he wants to talk really fast and he wants to say really bad things about John Moxley. He's going to really hurt John Moxley and he's very excited and he's going to hurt him. It's almost charming the way he rushes through his promos.
It's very like 80s coked up.
It's just like, I want to get all of the... If he could say all of the words at once, he would do it.
Yeah. Because
I think that's his intention.
This was pretty good. It was fun.
That was his problem. Yeah. We also had a Mox package being like, he'll beat up Brian Cage.
Mox is getting a little...
That's your Fighter Fest match.
Mox is getting a little edgy now.
Well, Brian Cage is a big, mean man. He needs to get edgy.
He needs that edge to have the greatest wrestling match ever.
You think you know me. Well, yeah, they can just pump in the crowd noise. That'll be fine.
Hell yeah.
For Premier League football, they have an option for like fake crowd noise. If you've ever played FIFA, it's basically that. Or regular, just, you know, none of that. And I'm like, none of that, please. Thank you very much.
They should have just done like 2K20 crowd noise.
I'm surprised WWE haven't. That's probably where they got. It's like they got in touch with 2K. It's like, we need to send you. We need you to send us your sound crowd noise sound files, and we need to put them over this Edge match because it's a disaster.
In the background, you just hear, "You're number one, player one." Put him in a body bag.
Matt Hardy joined commentary for our main event as best friends defeated Les Ex-Gods to retain their number one contender.
I gotta admit, little graphical note, I really like Matt Hardy's graphics on the Versus graphics, where it's him, but then it has all the different variations blurred out behind him.
Yeah, that's fun. Social, they made individual versions, because it's the Sammy Guevara will get to face. He gets to choose.
He's picking version one.
Which version of Matt Hardy?
Version one. It's the only one that hasn't had a match yet.
I thought this match was fine.
It was okay.
Probably veering on disappointment given the people in the ring.
Yeah, maybe a little. And very much in the same ethos of Colt and Jericho being in the ring being really cool to me, like having Chuck and Jericho wrestle. Like, imagine what's going through his head right now. Like, what the fuck?
Even Trent and Jericho, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, but they were both WWE guys, you know what I mean? Like,
you would have wanted the Dude Busters against Jericho match back in like 2010.
Yes, I would have. But like, it's just like, oh, Chuck Taylor's wrestling Chris Jericho. That's crazy.
And Chuck Taylor won by beating his partner, but still.
Setting up that big singles match for All Out.
Orange Cassidy was a cameraman at ringside. He tripped Sammy, which led to the finish. I'm not sell the Orange Cassidy attack for more than a week. You know, he should have missed a week after being beaten down by the Inner Circle.
Couldn't you have just done this next week?
You could have done this next week, and then it's the big go home into Fighter Fest. So, I don't know. I thought it was a good angle, but I would like to see the angle after at least a week more after he got the hell beaten out of by the entire Inner Circle by a giant bag of oranges.
Yeah, but I think we're done with this show.
You say that as if like, oh, thank God.
No, but
it's over.
Like, I think it went a lot.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card. But with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club slab pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show, and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it, and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, ah, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs, and it ends up being, you know, almost nothing, you know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You get a display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading, so you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, setting these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio, and then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally, and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They are on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy Video Lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived, and really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys and reach in my pocket or, wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy Video Lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition, 1 second. Door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
I think running through it now made me like it a lot more, because I like there's really only one 20-minute segment that I didn't like.
I thought it was fine.
But fine, we didn't go through special. The matches that they announced for next week.
What did they announce for next week?
Well, next week, Garrett, I'll take your job. Sure. Sure. Next week we'll have Cole Cabana and Brody Lee taking on Sunny Kiss and Joey Janela.
Which you pointed out in Twitter DMs, they didn't do part two of that.
I'm guessing they'll do it next week.
Okay.
We will also have Wardlow taking on Luchasaurus.
In a lumberjack match.
Yes, and the Natural Nightmares will take on FTR.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be a good match, though. Gucci's going to die on a Good Night Express.
I'm happy someone other than the Butcher is going to take it, because none of those Butcher ones looked particularly
good. Why can't the Blade take it?
That's a question I've been asking every week. I don't understand it.
So, Garrett, your nightmare has come true. Chris Jericho versus Orange Cassidy in front of no fans.
I know, I'm so upset. It's like, of all the... I thought the angle that closed this show was so good, but ask yourself the question again. If there was a crowd, how great would this have been?
Perhaps they're hoping to have some fans in and it'll be in week two of Fyter Fest.
I'd imagine they're taping both at once, though, aren't they?
That sucks.
I don't know that for sure, but I don't see any reason why you wouldn't.
So, is Cody going to defend the belt on both Fyter Fest episodes and next week?
Well, currently, they didn't announce one for next week, but yeah, he has Hager for Fyter Fest.
I was going to say his whole thing was every week, so...
Maybe they'll give him a special exclusion because Fyter Fest is technically two parts of one show instead of two shows.
Listen, Cody, if you say you're going to be the work rate champ, be the goddamn work rate champ and defend it on both shows.
Wow, calling out Cody. Calling out the ace of AEW Dynamite.
I don't think he is anymore.
Nah, crowds have ruined him.
I think I'm giving it to Mox now.
It's probably just Kenny Omega.
See, I feel like Kenny's lost a bit of the aura. I think Mox still retains that.
Well, he's champion.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying.
By the booking.
But Kenny is also a champion.
He's tag champ, though. He's only half of his champion.
So now that we've gone through how many months of AEW since it started?
37 episodes, I think.
Which belt do you think has the best catalog?
It's the tag belts. It's not even close.
Do you think... Because, like, the safest bet in wrestling is the NXT tag division, right? Like... bang your four-star matches every takeover. Do you think if you compared the history of the NXT tag titles to the AEW tag titles in the same time span that the AEW tag titles will now have surpassed the NXT tag title belts in in-ring quality?
Well, the Revolution tag match is better than, I think, any recent NXT tag match. I think you'd have to go back to the Revival and American Alphas and DIY stuff to get something comparable.
Mm.
What was the tag match at Full Gear? I don't even remember.
Full Gear was Bucks. No, they took on LAX.
It was still SCU as champs, wasn't it?
It was SCU Lucha Brothers versus Private Party in like a three-way tag.
Was that it?
I think.
Yeah, it was. I don't even remember. I don't remember that tag. So I think your answer is no, they probably haven't overtaken. And even like the all-out tag title match.
But
wasn't even one.
They've done a lot of TV title matches that have been really good.
Yes, but if you're comparing takeovers to pay-per-views,
I'm saying in the same time span, though, from AEW's inception to now.
But there's only been two pay-per-view tag title matches in that time.
I'm including the TV title defenses.
Oh, including the TV title. Well, the SCU reign wasn't particularly good, though, so maybe not.
But every Kenny Omega one has been good.
That's true. But speaking of NXT tag team titles, the NXT opened.
This wasn't as good as Imperium, the other one.
Defeating Breezango to retain the NXT tag team championships. And yeah, I thought this was a good match, but it's nothing special, nothing great, nothing go out of the way to see, and a bad finish.
You know what, was funny about this? They basically did the Young Bucks, Super Bad, Butcher and the Blade, FTR stuff in this tag title match.
In fact, I'll give it to NXT. I think they did it cleaner than AEW did, even if I'm less interested in the respective teams.
For sure, but I just thought it was a funny note.
We're all doing four-way tag feuds.
You know what's fun? One more fun fact about watching of this show.
Well, is there fun that you went through it at 1.5 speed?
No, I watched it at all at one speed, because my internet couldn't handle going 1.5. I watched the second half of it before the first half.
Why did you do that?
I misclinked to the legitimate TV stream.
That happens to break it into two parts, yes. We all know them.
And I watched the second one first, and I was like, man, why is Damian Priest in his gear? He just showed up and went to his car? Did he have no match?
Did you not notice there was no like opening thing?
Well, you see, the second part of my legitimate TV stream started with Adam Cole going to the ring. So I was like, oh, it's a classic go to the ring, everyone comes out segment.
That is a very opening WWE television show segment, to be fair.
So that's why I was like, all right, cause this is the opening. It was very confusing for me when it was like, all right, the main event's up next. I'm like, huh?
Yeah. So this show just made no sense to you then.
The second half, I didn't. God, did you manage to catch the Mauro quote from the first match?
The only Mauro quote I took note of in the show is when Shotzi was making her entrance. She was like, "Can Knox and Chonky is to Shots and Shots and Nonky. Knox and Shotzi want to be tanking care of business tonight." But other than that, that's the only one I got this week.
This is my recollection of it, so it may be slightly butchered, but it was something along the lines of, much like a TikTok video, Matt Riddle and Timothy Thatcher's reign had a lot of cool moves, but was over quick.
All right.
Much like a TikTok dance video. And I was like,
Mauro. Can't take you anywhere, can we, Mauro?
He sucks, man.
It was a good opener. I like the Imperium entrance.
I like the Emporium entrance.
That's what I said.
You said Imperium.
I said Imperium, but it was
no,
Emporium,
you
you're right.
No, you didn't.
I did pronounce it with an E, but I didn't pronounce it with an O.
That a banger theme, I gotta admit.
They should give that theme to Imperium.
Well, I don't know if this actually was it, but I'm pretty sure like Timothy Thatcher had a funky version of that theme too when he had Stokely as his manager, and it might be the same one.
I'd like, in fairness, the fake version of Imperium's theme is better than most AEW themes.
Themes suck nowadays. That's what I learned watching NXT.
Well, the problem is they're using freaking production tracks instead of actually making music for these people, and it just doesn't fit anymore. So instead of looking at, like, this is who this character is, we're going to make a really good piece of music, they just pick a production track. And, like, AEW's music is all originally composed, so that doesn't help. There's no helping them. The NXT thing, it's all production music now. It sucks. It's really bad. Andrew Rich wrote a really good thing about the state of wrestling music a couple of months ago on Voices of Wrestling. Go seek that out. Mr. Music himself.
Yes. That's gonna add nothing. I don't care.
Killian Dane! Killian Dane is back.
The return
How do you
of
feel
our favorite NXT feud ever.
Not only did they bring Killian Dane back, and I'm like, oh, it's Killian Dane, but he is back to wrestle Damian Priest. Mm. And I'm like, why do you do this to me? Why do you inflict everything I dislike on me on this show? And like, immediately after this, they did freaking Jaya Lee against Aaliyah again. And you're like, do you have no new ideas? Are we just going to do the same thing over and over again until the end of time? And Killian Dane returned for his big comeback so he could lose the Damian Priest. I'm like, what are we doing? Why do we care? Everything's bad. I hate everything.
Damian Priest has nice gear, as previously mentioned, and I like that it shows off his thighs. It's very cute.
His little fishnets.
Mm. Damian Priest is cool. I'm all in on this Damian Priest push now.
You're a big fan of babyface Damian
Priest?
Yeah,
I'm into it.
He should be the one to beat Adam Cole.
Adam Cole, huh?
Well, we'll get to Adam Cole later.
That's
in the
show. Weird scenario that they've built for themselves. I don't know if I like it.
We'll talk about that in a minute. Robert Stone, drunk.
God forbid.
Hey, format, narrow, straight lines. Everything needs to be right. Robert Stone is drunk, and he was Killian Dane bashed on the plexiglass and scared him. And then when Aaliyah, isn't it?
Yeah, that was later though.
But that was the next match. But when Aaliyah was making her entrance, Robert Stone was sitting there, and Beth was
she's like,
"How long has
he been
sitting
there? You laughed at him 4 minutes ago."
Yeah, literally the last segment. You were like, "Oh, look at him!"
I like how they've dropped all pretense about him being drunk, and that it's like showing him with a bottle now.
Yeah.
Because like they were kind of doing like it tongue-in-cheek before, where he would just show up looking disheveled.
Now he's full-on alcoholic, vomiting in the ring.
Mm. But before we get to that, there was a really cool vignette for the new Lucha Boys.
Oh, yeah. They're mad, and they don't like masks, basically.
Hmm. I just thought it was cool.
It's a very WWE character that they're like, well, we don't like wearing masks, sick of luchadors wearing masks.
I hate this alt-right luchador stable.
But alas.
Get it?
Oh, there you go.
Come on. That was a grower.
That's particularly fitting given the scandals around WWE and masks at their tapings in the last couple days. But tug on collar. But yeah, then they will return later in the show.
There was a good note about the Robert Stone thing in the ProWrestling.net site. I'm giving them credit for it, but I thought it was a fun note that you would appreciate. That they're doing the drunken crazy Laurel Van Ness storyline with Robert Stone.
After he was dumped by Chelsea Green.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, she has been completely absent since she dumped him, so...
She's gone to Raw, apparently.
Oh, well.
Well, she was when Heyman was there, so...
Who knows what could be happening now?
Much like Djokovic.
Yeah, Aliyah... Which did we decide on?
Aliyah.
Because I think I said it wrong one week. I usually say it right, but then I said it wrong, and then you corrected me, and then I'm in my head about it. Aliyah defeated Jai Lee after Robert Stone threw up in the ring and distracted Jai Lee.
Why did Lee kick out?
She was distracted by the vomit.
Yeah, but why did she kick out?
Oh, and then she pinned her again. Yeah, it's,
like, that was just a very awkward finish. I was like, come on. Fucking Aliyah never gets to win. Let her win.
And then she did win.
I actually like their, much like how I'm just hoping that the Natural Nightmares have a wholesome conclusion, I hope Aliyah and Robert Stone have a wholesome conclusion too.
Robert Stone just, she wins all her matches via Robert Stone vomit.
I'm rooting for them.
Oh dear.
But like, what a nice, like, gal she is. She's like, oh, this guy's on hard times, I said no to him, oh, come on, you can manage me.
She props him up on the ring apron.
Yeah, I just thought, I was like, ah, oh, what? See, like, this is a babyface act to me now.
In fairness, he helped her win.
Hmm. And then, like, you know what really annoyed me? Like, after he helped her win, I think it was Tom Phillips was like, but why would she want him there? Like, he helped her win. And she never wins.
She was about to lose.
Hmm.
Tim Thatcher is beating people up.
Put him in Imperium. Why is he not in Imperium?
That's true. Especially with Walter absent for the moment.
But, like, you know how much cooler this segment would have been if he was in there and then Eichner and Bartel both showed up behind him and also started stretching out the recruits? Like, because they would add the aura that he needs. He's a little jokey.
He's too jokey here for my taste.
And I think having Bartel and Eichner with him would instantly kind of straighten yourself up. Be a little more serious.
I think the idea here is he's meant to come off like mean and serious and beating up these guys, and he comes off a little goofy and jokey for me. And I think you're right that if they had Imperium there looking all mean and serious, it would reinforce the fact that he's mean and serious.
Well, also, like, because at the end of it, he did the old, like, he basically said the mat is sacred. Like, I was like, you're doing the same gimmick, just put them together.
Yeah.
I like that
joke. Undisputed Era are trying to.
2007 DX.
It really is. It's straight out of 2007 DX.
That's what it is. They are DX.
Including doctor and therapy skits. It's like, ugh.
I don't want to talk about any of this except for Kyle O'Reilly's awful beard.
Oh, it's so bad. It's even like, it's as someone who shaved his beard this week, I can now give out about people's terrible beards.
It's better than what your beard was.
Because I finally gave up on mine. My beard was a monstrosity, but I've gotten rid of it, so I can now give out about other people's beards.
Joke's on you all, I can't grow a beard.
The monstrosity of my beard makes me the authority on bad beards. Mm. God, my beard was terrible. But, yeah, oh god, it's uneven, it's growing down the neck in weird ways. God, it's a bad beard. Kyle, shave your beard.
And I like that. The only good thing about this segment for me was that Bobby Fish clearly didn't want to do it. Because he was kind of sandbagging everything.
Yeah, and Adam Cole's delivery is not great for a guy who's probably quite funny. His comic delivery, not he's not Shawn. Like, in fairness, you say 2007 DX. I think Triple H and Shawn Michaels have better comic delivery than Undisputed Era do.
Well, I also think, you know what it is, Undisputed Era's backstage segments have become being the Elite, being the Era.
So you've moved on from 2007 DX to BTE.
Well, which is basically the same thing anyway. So,
We all know. Being the Elite is one of the most dreadfully not funny shows, not to man.
I watch it, but like, I couldn't imagine sitting there going, "Woo! He can't find his tail." I couldn't imagine actually sitting there and like laughing at BTE. I watched it, but I watched it because they give teasers to storyline stuff.
You get the odd chuckle from a decent line delivery.
Yeah, which is normally them, like, taking a shot, so... And the Mookie stuff.
Adam Cole was being interviewed before Keith Lee walked up. TikTok. Hourglass. NXT.
So, is Cross gonna go after Lee for breaking his nice TikToker?
Yeah, because the countdown is all thrown off now.
Do you still think Cole's leaving?
Well, they seem to be setting him up and losing the title in multiple different ways, so maybe...
He'd be a cool open challenge guy.
It's weird because they seem to be immediately pivoting to Adam Cole against Killer Cross, but then they've set up this thing where somebody is going to be dual champion,
which is weird. First of all,
yeah, which is weird. So maybe it's a case that Adam Cole loses if he's staying, he loses the NXT title and keeps the North American title, or they have Killer Cross beat Keith Lee for one of them, or I don't know. It's weird. It's weird that they've set up this weird scenario where someone's going to become double champion while also having Cross there waiting in the wings.
Unless they really want to put Cole over strong before having him like job to Cross, like Cole becomes champ, and then loses in like 2 minutes to Cross.
Yeah, and then Cross wins both belts.
Yeah. Which, by the way, not as good of an aesthetic as the two IWGP titles. Like, that rules. The white belt and the black belt. This is going to be a maroon belt. That's not as good.
Yeah, Cole came out. He called Killer Cross Killian Cross. He mixed up the Killer and Carrion into Killian Cross, also, which is now his name.
Also Killian Dane.
Before we had our parade of interruptions from...
I love this segment. It's my shit.
Liam loves this. And all the marks in the ring.
Ah. All the fucking marks in the ring. Well, guess what? Now I'm here and they can go back to being marks for me. I turned into Galloway.
You cannot do it without veering into a Scottish accent. It's upsetting.
I don't know. I need to work on it. I've been doing a lot of Conor McGregor lately because I bought his whiskey. So I've just been going, fucking... What's this fucking called again? I've got... Proper fucking 12.
Why did you buy his whiskey?
It was there.
Is it good whiskey?
Yeah, it's pretty good whiskey. I gotta admit, it's pretty good whiskey.
Alright. Regal showed up, announced that there will be a triple threat for the North American Championship, which he said next week, I believe, didn't he?
Yep. I thought no...
Which is Gargano.
Oh, I guess. Okay. I thought they were going to counteract Fighter Fest with both of these matches.
No, the second night of Fighter Fest is against the champion versus champion match, but I think the North American title match is next week.
But that wouldn't... the first night of Fighter Fest would be against it then.
I thought Fighter Fest was July 1 and July 8.
Well, Fighter Fest is 2 weeks away, right?
Yeah.
So
July 1 and 8. And it's not 8 and 15.
Well, yeah. If it's the next two... If it's a break... Because next week is the go-home to Fighter Fest, and then there's the two Fighter Fests. And next week is the Triple Threat. And then the week after that is the Champion. That means first night of Fighter Fest against Champion.
No, the Champion is July 8.
They said it was the week after.
No, they definitely said it was July 8.
I thought they said it was the week after. I thought they said the Triple Threat, and then the next week after that was Champ.
No, I'm 90% sure that Regal specifically said, and then on July 8th, it'll be Champion versus Champion.
I don't know.
So they'll probably do a one-week build to that match or something. I don't know.
Champ.
It's Gargano against Lee.
No one cares about the semantics
Lee
of the title matches.
Listen, we're 56 minutes in and we're on NXT. No one cares about anything at this stage.
To be fair, this has flown by, this episode.
NXT hasn't dragged for you?
Hmm.
Or what, reviewing NXT?
I actually thought NXT was pretty fun this week. Maybe that's the key.
But it's not a terrible wrestling show. Ideal.
What's next, Garrett?
I've been trying to say, Gargano, Lee, Balor, for the title, North American Championship, winner faces Cole, title versus title.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to get out of it for like 2 minutes before you've interrupted me, but still.
The fucking
Dakota
marks.
Kai. Dakota Kai beat Caden Carter. It was a match.
Yeah.
There you go. There's nothing else to say.
Dakota kick.
Scarlett's counting down.
Then I didn't think this was a cool little vignette with them stepping on the broken glass.
Hmm. How do you think they broke the glass?
They stepped on it. He had big shoes.
Bronze, freaking Beth, before Bronson Reed was coming out, she was like, and now a big return. Oh no, we had the Mercedes Martinez vignette first, where she's coming back, I guess.
I adore your pronunciation of Martinez.
Martinez? Well, Martinez and Martinez are both acceptable pronunciations. I assume if she's Martinez, I don't know. I'm just stupid.
I've never heard the word Martinez.
Really?
I have only heard Martinez.
All right.
I just think every time you say it, I go, hee.
I will butcher names until the end of time. It's my gimmick.
Mm. Now, Bronson Reed.
Bronson Reed, yeah, he was squashed by Killer Cross, and they showed it 3 weeks ago. And, like, Beth was like, and now for a big return to NXT. And I'm like, ooh, who is it? And Bronson Reed made his entrance. It's like, all right, who's Bronson Reed facing?
Leon Ruff
comes out. I was like, wait, is it Bronson Reed that is the person returning here? What are you talking about, Beth?
It's, you know what she was talking about? The big return of the one-week NXT build.
Ah, yes, Bronson Reed destroyed Leon Ruff to set up being killed by Killer Cross again next week, I guess.
Which is funny, it's like, the two people who this happens to most is just Reed and Grimes.
Yeah. Well, that's Killian Dane's problem as well, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but they did give him, like, an extended push. Like, these two have, like, almost exclusively only had, like, 2 week pushes.
Yeah, I'd imagine he'll have a more competitive match with Cross next week. I would hope. If he's squashed again, it's like, oh, the poor guy.
I don't think they didn't have a match, did they? I thought Cross killed him after a match.
Did they?
Yeah.
I thought that was...
I think Grimes beat him or something. And then afterwards he came out and he dropped him with the... Doomsday Saito!
I thought that was who did Cross squash then?
He's been killing all of the Evolve lads.
Oh, yeah, he squashed Leon Ruff. Yeah, there we go.
Mm. So... I think they'll have a pretty cool match. It'll go like 3 minutes and they'll just hit each other with like bombs.
Mm.
Which is like really all I want from Karrion Kross.
Santos Escobar and his friends Joaquin Wilder and Raul Mendoza came out and they were like, oh, we hate masks. And Spud was like, oh, I'll fight you. Then he fought him and got cradle shock through a tape.
I'm a big fan that like he's just like, I'm a fucking idiot. Rah!
he has more balls than brains, which is admirable. You go, Rockstar Spud.
You know what else is admirable? I'm going to skip right past this.
All right.
Tom Phillips going straight from Owen Hart voice to Sonic Milkshakes.
And the fact that Mauro cut him off before he even finished the plug.
Mauro cut everyone off on this show. Like, there was like three times. like three notable times where he stopped and then like, normally he'll be like, and then he'll go. But he just like, and gave up.
And, like, even at the end of the show, they, like, pivoted to Tom Phillips breaking down what's happening next week. And Mauro cut him off when he tried to start doing that as well. It's like, God damn it, Mauro. Let your freaking commentary people speak.
I believe they named the stable here, but I don't remember what it was.
It had Phantasma in it. It's like something...
I think it was, like, whatever the Spanish word for leader is.
Yeah.
Leader of the Phantoms, I guess. Leaders, phantom leaders, something like that. Spanish isn't my first language.
By the way, Jake Atlas helped Drake Maverick, like, in the, you know, after the breaks thing. But, like, he could have come out and helped him while he was being beaten up.
But, to be fair, Drake Maverick and Jake Atlas versus Rael and fucking Zima Ion, that's gotta be a banger of a match.
Yes, I want these three against Undisputed Era. Give me that match.
That's what you do on Cole on his way out. Have him job to old Santos.
Even if you don't put Santos, even if Cole's not there, just Kyle, Bobby, and Strong.
Kyle can't wrestle, bro.
Well, he was in a segment on the show.
Yeah, they trust him in segments. Come on, no one's been infected yet.
Main event. Sasha and Bayley retain the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships against Shotzi Blackheart and Tegan Nox in a pretty good match.
Yeah. I don't really have a lot to say about the match. It was fun to see Banks and Bayley back. Their tag theme is awful.
Oh, the freaking Sasha Banks theme song is the worst.
It goes from I was like, wait, what the fuck?
It's just like she had one of the best theme songs in wrestling and they ruined it. And I'm like, what are you doing?
I don't even mind the Snoop Dogg remix. What is this mixture with Bailey's like generic music?
But even Sasha's music is like such a weird, it's like Snoop Dogg here, Snoop Dogg. It's like, no, they're two completely different pieces of music. What are you doing?
If you're gonna have Snoop Dogg do it, just make him make music. You can afford it. If Snoop Dogg will appear on a Little Dicky album, he will make a fucking theme for WWE.
Like, don't have the Sasha, but like the do-do-do-do-do, which is the great theme song. One of the best theme songs of the last decade. Mm. And then you just cut it off for the Snoop Dogg bit. It makes no sense. And then you have the dumbass Bailey theme, which is terrible. Yeah. And it's just like, what are we doing here?
What is Bailey's hair,
also,
by the way?
One of the best theme songs. She's embraced her inner Karen. It's fine.
Ooh.
But freaking Bailey's theme song was amazing as well. Now we have a bad theme song. Why are we giving good people theme songs, bad people theme songs? It's upsetting.
So basically this match was kind of just whatever. But I was really surprised by the post-match segment. And EO versus either of these people could be really, really good. So
you're looking forward to EO Shirai and Rhea Ripley with their loose alliance on shaky ground.
No, I don't want that.
I've ruined it for you.
Just
I've
give
ruined
me
it for you.
EO versus Sasha.
I've already ruined it for you. Job done. Rhea Ripley walks up to EO backstage. It's like, EO, you can't take these two on alone. You need to fight for the honor of NXT. And I am part of the heart and soul of NXT. And we will fight together. You know all of this is happening.
So much worse. You know what my first thought was while watching it?
What?
Oh, man. Charlotte didn't put anyone over. Send the other ones who will put people over.
And then they beat Shotzi and Tegan.
Yeah, but they're going to put over EO and Rhea.
Yeah, well, probably not. Like, EO and Rhea will implode. And then Sasha and Bayley will beat them too and go back to SmackDown.
Just give me EO, Sasha. Just give me EO, Sasha. Please.
And it will end in a DQ when Bayley interferes and then Rhea makes the save. This is... And she'll do the thing where she comes out and does her stomp and then goes and makes the save. You were so enthusiastic about EO against these people and I've completely ruined it in a way that they're going to completely ruin it.
Had a dreamer. Had a match. I did like... Sasha and Bailey, like, their trash talk to EO, though, where one of them was like, we made this place, and the other one's like, we got you your job, which I totally believe that they were like the ones like, hey guys, you should sign this person.
If you're looking for Joshi, EO Shirai is quite good.
I've heard good things.
What is your match of the week, Liam Jones?
I wonder what one it is. It's the one match I put on my spreadsheet.
I probably agree. I think that match is probably the best match of the week. Again, I didn't like it as much as you, but I thought it was the best match of the week.
I've been
becoming
like a sneaky, really big fan of QT Marshall.
He's just so charming.
It's like a 2K20 offense where he just has all these random moves, but like he puts them in a way that they actually work and it's fun to watch. Like he does the diamond cutter and he's doing variants.
Yes, he does. He is like the reverse DDT version into a diamond cutter. It's very nice.
I would,
of course, like all those, like there was a thread. I can't remember who was doing
it. It was
the thread
Simon.
Cutters. Oh, it was Simon doing the thread of diamond cutters. It's like, oh, look at all these diamond cutters. What a great move.
Mm. If we do get a Dustin Kenny match, then give me a QT Hangman match on the same card.
QT and a Hangman. Yeah. Kenny and QT. Yeah, give him full 20 minutes.
He goes for the one-wing angel, brings him down. QT diamond cutter on the way down. Fucking
yeah.
Big pin, 1, 2, kicker. I'm in the shower because I watched this match in the shower. Going, whoa!
Why do you watch this match in the shower?
I woke up and I had to fit dynamite in somewhere.
All right, I'll allow it.
I was freaking out too. It was great.
Show of the week.
No, don't. No. Oh, actually.
Liam has to think about it.
You go. I'll think about it.
Honestly, I think I prefer NXT.
They were both really easy watches for a change.
I'm going to vote for NXT. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt.
You know what? I'll vote for AEW and we'll see who wins.
Oh, you've sent it to the Twitter poll, which, by the way, before we started this podcast, I didn't retweet the Twitter poll, so I retweeted it. And then Voices of Wrestling retweeted it.
Oh,
and
no.
It was like...
We gotta tell them to stop retweeting it just so NXT has a chance.
Listen, we'll take the numbers. Well, it was like 65-35 before I retweeted it. And now, by the end of the show, it's 82-18. So, sorry, NXT. AEW wins again.
We need to ask Twitter to do a feature where we can control who retweets. so we can just have our audience retweet the poll, so that way we can get a more accurate representation than all those VOW marks in the ring.
The co-opted people and their Tony Khan money voting in the poll to give Tony Khan the win.
We've got no Tony Khan money.
Yeah.
Yet.
If you would like more Elite coverage in your podcasting feed, you can listen to Everything Elite. If you would like more WWE television show coverage in your podcasting feed, you can listen to Shake Them Ropes. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at WarGamesPod. You can follow me on Twitter at Garkid. And you can't follow Liam on Twitter because he's a car. Oh, can you? No, can you? You can follow Liam on Twitter?
You can't. Don't get the hopes up. We should have done a quick Raw review. So then we can put it in the title. Watched the
last hour.
Yeah, just do a quick Raw review, Garrett.
I'm not putting Raw in the title.
Yeah, it will get extra viewers. All right. Let me get the Raw results. You talk to the people.
All right. I watched the last hour because I knew the Christian thing would be an angle, but I like Christian, so I had to watch. And it was an angle, and I don't care, but it's still.
I can't find the Raw results.
Monday Night Raw.
Raw.
It's quite telling that you can't remember what happened on Raw off the top of your head.
Yeah, but I want to do it. I'm giving it the same credibility that we gave it. We give NXT and AEW every week, okay?
We don't have that kind of time.
Yeah, we do. All right. So we start the show off. First match, Kevin Owens versus Angel Garza. I wasn't watching at that point.
I didn't even know Kevin Owens was back, by the way.
He's left now, apparently. Now he's sitting it out. Garrett, the Viking Raiders and the Street Profits faced ninjas, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't watch that bit.
That Backlash segment was so bad, by the way. It was the worst.
I haven't seen it.
It's terrible.
I guess I'll talk about the two matches that I actually did watch and remember. Apollo Crews versus Shelton Benjamin happened, Garrett.
Ain't no stopping him now. Was there stopping him?
He was stopped, but Apollo had to cheat. Oh. He had to cheat to win.
It's really upsetting that they brought like Drew back and changed his theme. And they brought Shelton back and they changed his theme.
Why?
They brought Lashley back and they changed his theme. It's like, why are you changing good themes to bad themes? What are you doing?
You know what I was really sad about?
What?
There was a McIntyre R-Truth versus MVP Bobby Lashley match for the WWE title.
Oh, you lied to me, yes.
And I was... Goddamn, I was hoping that MVP would pin R-Truth. To win.
I thought you were hoping R-Truth would pin MVP.
That was when you put it in my head. But before that, I was like, MVP's going to win the WWE title here, baby.
Like when MVP was meant to main event Slammiversary in 2014 and got hurt. Then Lashley ended up main eventing, losing, and then winning the title the next night. Or the next Impact.
And then I don't remember anything else on the show. The main event was a big pile of poo.
Which is officially Christian's last match now. There was a bell. That match went 30 seconds. He kicked him in the head.
Well, it's better than whatever the random Raw match or whatever he had before was.
It probably isn't better than whatever the random Raw match he had.
Hey, man.
That was like him against Del Rio, against Dolph, against, I think, Big Show.
He put over a young talent on the way out.
Yeah, so good Randy needed the push.
I think Randy should beat Drew for the title. This is now a Raw discussion.
I don't think Randy should beat Drew for the title.
I haven't watched Raw in 12 months. But yeah. I think Randy should win the title.
No.
All right, cool. That was our Raw discussion.
Thanks for listening, and bye-bye.
Bruce Pritchard, baby. Woo!